Take your Bible, please. Turn to 1 Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless, Lord, as the Word of God goes forth again from this pulpit. Lord, help me to preach, to be able to expound the Word, and Lord, to give a blessing to each one of us as we study your precious Word. What will we do without it? Thank you for the absolute pure truth that we can hear, read, and understand, and then apply to our life. I pray that you might do that this morning and have your will done within our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's a long passage. I won't have you stand. We normally do, though. We're going to go 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting with verse 57. Says in verse 57, and as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. He's talking about Goliath here, of course. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou? Thou young man. And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword, and to his bow, to his girdle. Jonathan, the king's son. That's what I named this message, the king's son. When David slew Goliath, he met the king's son, Jonathan, for the first time. And right off the bat, they were friends. I find in studying Jonathan, I haven't heard too many messages on Jonathan. I don't think I ever have. But that's what we're going to study this morning, because I saw parallels between Jonathan and Jesus. Jonathan is a type of Christ within the Bible. We're going to see that this morning. Our Heavenly Father, pray that you might bless, help us to understand and apply in Jesus' name. Amen. So, here we have a great example of true friendship. You can't get a better example in the Bible. A true friendship that lasts God places a high premium on a good friend in life. Abraham was called the friend of God 3 times. Moses, it says of him that he spoke to God as a man to a friend. Important that you learn to pray out loud, because you're to talk to God as a friend, just like you would anybody. It says in Job chapter 6, verse 14, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. Turns out the friends that Job had weren't very good friends. All they did was run him down, falsely accuse him of things. As you read the book of Job, it was until the Lord got on the scene, changed that all up. Go to Proverbs 17, if you like. Keep your place here in our text. We'll be coming back. Look at a lot of scripture, just like we always do. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, tells us a little about a friend in the Bible. It says, a friend loveth at some times. Is that what it says?
No, all times.
Boy, that's one thing you can find out if you got a friend or not. If he loves you at all times, no matter what. What it says right there. And a brother is born for adversity. Even when you're going through hard things, they're adverse to your life. Something's happened. Maybe someone died. You had a financial problem. Your house burned down or whatever it is. So the Bible talks about friends. If you have a friend, you need to count yourself blessed. A true friend. No matter what you're going through, he said. And it breaks your heart when you think you have a friend and then something happens and they're gone. Wasn't a friend at all. Look at chapter 18, Proverbs 18, verse 24. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So, of course, it's talking about the ultimate friend, that is Jesus Christ. He's not only your Lord and your God, he's your friend.
Amen.
Because he's the only one that'll stick with you through a lot of things. Get in a scrape with the law over some crazy thing or a technical thing or whatever it is. This is the day and age where we let the bad guys get out on bail, but the good guy, they keep him in prison. We see that stuff going on all the time. You still have a friend going through all of that? Friend is born for adversity. Verse 24 says, you don't have friends if you don't show yourself friendly. If you're not going to talk with people and be friendly to people, you aren't going to have friends. Oh, I don't have any friends. Well, let's start with that. Just how friendly are you? Do you talk? God wants to change you into the mold that he has in the Bible. As long as you resist that, you will not prosper. Verse 24 says, there is a friend that sticketh closer. He sticks close, brother. Amen. I want that kind of friend. Look at chapter 27. Proverbs 27. And in verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, when it was time for Judas to betray Jesus, when Judas started walking toward Jesus, Jesus called him friend. And his quote friend betrayed him with a kiss. Deceitful. Saying one thing to your face, stabbing you in the back right after. That didn't turn out good for Judas. Went out and hung himself. Never did get saved. So in 27:6, it says sometimes a friend will wound you. He's trying to protect you. Maybe he said something that offended you. It wasn't politically correct. But he told you the truth. That's a friend. It's one you can trust and rely in. Look at verse 10, 27:10. Thine own friend and thy friend, or thy father's friend, forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. How you doing with your neighbors? Do you have a friend, and even your father's friend? Don't forsake that. It's the greatest thing that you can have as a good friend. And God wants you to have that within your life. A friend will never take you away from God. Oh, I got some friends, they're down at the bar. Oh, they went down to the concert, the rock concert, and they didn't want me to go. That's not your friend. Somebody that will rebuke you is your friend. John 15:15 says, henceforth I call you not my servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That's what I do. The things I hear from my Father, I tell you. I get away from the book. So, it's important for us to have true, faithful friends within our life. Jonathan's friendship with David was not like a fleeting friendship like the world has out here. The world doesn't really know about the deepness of a Bible believer's friend and friendship. How many are familiar with the Lone Ranger?
Of course.
Who many don't know the Lone Ranger? Just raise your hand. The Lone Ranger and Tonto. They were friends. Well, they were. One day they were talking together because they've been trying to bring the peace and bring bad guys to justice and everything else. And they were working together, this Indian Tonto and the Lone Ranger down in Texas. He said, "We've been through a lot of things together." And Tonto said, "Yeah, we did Kemosabe, all this." And they were talking about that and the things that went on. All of a sudden, up on the hill, they saw a whole Apache war party up there. And they were going to attack them. The Lone Ranger said, "Tonto, what should we do?" And Tonto said, "What you mean by we, white man?" "That's not the good friendship you thought you had." He bailed out on the Lone Ranger real quick, didn't he? It's not a false friendship that we're looking at here with Jonathan and David. A lot of times friendships get built on popularity and fame and riches. But when you come to truth, that's a different thing. When you just hang around with someone and call them your friend, and you're really just hanging around them to see what you can get from them, that's not friendship. It's nothing deep and lasting. Would you study here this morning? I see many parallels, a beautiful picture of David and Jonathan, and Jonathan is a type of Christ to David. Look at the first one here, that it's a gift of God. James 1:17 tells you that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. So friendship's a good gift, came from God. You don't get too many good friends in life. I've had some that I thought were my friend. That didn't last. But I'm glad that I have the Lord. He never goes anywhere. Amen. He's always there. You can always count on him. I say it's a gift. What else is a gift in our spiritual life? Eternal life is an eternal gift, is it not? Just like friendship is. It's unspeakable and full of glory. The real closeness that you can have in Jonathan had that for David. I say Jonathan is a type of Christ because Jonathan was giving him of himself to David. Their souls were knit, it tells you right there in the scriptures. Wow, what a picture that was. So just like Jesus gave us the gift of God, Jonathan gave that wonderful gift of God to David also. Doesn't say Jonathan had any other friends. As you read about Jonathan's life here, he was the king's son. Jonathan. That's the first thing. I got 9 things that I see parallel, and I'll go quickly this morning. But don't ever trust what I say. I'm not your friend. Amen. I'll lie to you. The second thing, he loved him as his own soul. Is that what you just read? As much as Jonathan loved his own soul, he loved David as the same thing. Chapter 18 and in verse 1 in our text that we looked at tells you that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. I mean, that's some close stuff. Keep your place, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus stripped himself of his righteousness and gave it to us. He took our sin from us. He loved him as his own soul, is what it says. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Write a few more pages, you get over into the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And in verse 2. It says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Now that's real Christian love. Walk in love. That's what it tells you right there in verse 2. There has to be a sacrifice along the line to be able to see if that's a real friend or not. It can't be the attitude of when you go through something, better for you to go through it than me. No, that's not the attitude that a friend has. His soul is knit in love as his own soul. He was willing to sacrifice as Christ sacrificed on the cross for us as his own soul. There's a third thing I see that Jonathan is like the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in our text in 18, chapter 18 and verse 3. "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." Jonathan and David made promises to each other. They made a covenant. That's what a covenant is. It's a promise. If you promise to do something for someone else, a real friend will keep that promise. No matter what it costs. No matter what sacrifice there is, he'll keep on. Maybe there's obstacles, he'll keep on until he fulfills that promise. Let's go ahead and make a covenant. That's what they did. They made promises to one another. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. some things you can see about Jonathan that are like Christ. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." For God is not unrighteous to forgive your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward him, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." How do you know you're saved today? When it all boils down, you took God at his promise. He said, if you believe in him, you will have the eternal life. He promised you that.
Amen.
You don't know you have eternal life. How do you know? He's either a liar or he's a true friend. He's telling you the truth. That's what David and Jonathan made, was promising one another. Look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Is that a promise? If it's a promise, then he'll never leave me or forsake me. He'll never do that. You know what else that Jesus promised? He promises to you if you're saved. He said you're never going to die. The world out here says everybody dies. Excuse me. I'm not going to die. Because Jesus promised me I'm not going to die. John 8:51. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Hebrews 11:5. "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death." John 8:52. "If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death." John 5:24. "He shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." When did that happen? When you trusted Christ. You don't have any death in your life. You only got life in your life. Romans 8:2. "For the law of the Spirit of life and Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." 1 Corinthians 15:26. "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." 1 Corinthians 15:55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" There isn't any death. The next verse says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." So if you're still in your sin, yeah, you're going to have death. But if you're saved, no sin, Jesus took it all, no death. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this?" Because the next verse says that whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You know what I read to you? A bunch of promises. Jesus promised us. Our body will give out one of these days. The world might want to call that death, but that's not real death. We'll never die. Jesus promised over and over and over again. You can have a funeral and put me in the grave, but I'm not there, folks. Soon as this heart stops and there's a flat line in my brain, of course that's now. But anyway, when that comes, I'm in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:8. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Boom! You're there. Wonderful thing God's got ready for us. So that's the third parallel that you can show between Jonathan and Christ. He promised. They made promises to each other. Go to look at the fourth thing, and look at the fourth verse back in 1 Samuel 18. They told you to keep your place. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and his bow, to his girdle. His girdle was his belt. Jonathan gave his robe, the king's son. God's king. He's got a son called Jesus. Christ. And the king's son gave his royal robe he was wearing to David. He stripped himself of his royal finery. Did you know that Jonathan didn't go out and look back in his closet somewhere and give him his leftovers? He didn't give him any hand-me-downs. He gave to his friend his best, what he was wearing. We might say the shirt on his back. He didn't command, Jonathan didn't command somebody else to give their robe to David. He gave his all. That's what a friend will do, brother. He didn't command somebody else or say, oh, I wish somebody would just help him. No, he did it himself. He took what he had and gave it to him. No matter how much it cost. He was the king's son. He didn't have to do any of that. Look at Philippians 2. The book of Philippians. Chapter 2. Philippians 2 verse 6. It says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wow. That's the fourth parallel I see as a Christ, as a type of Christ. He gave his robe. The fifth thing I saw, he warned, Jonathan warned David of his father's wrath. Things changed. Turn over a page to chapter 19, 1 Samuel 19. And it says, and Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, to all his servants, that they should kill David. Well, that's great. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee. And what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood, and to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swear, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. Boy, that's full of stuff there. So Jonathan warned his friend. What are the Gospels all about? About the life of Jesus Christ? And what was he doing through all of these parables and everything that he said and did? He was warning us. That's what Jonathan did. He's a type of Christ. He was warned. Ezekiel 33:7 talks about the watchman on the wall. And that watchman's supposed to warn. Paul said, I preach day and night, and I've warned with tears. That's what you do when you go soul winning. You're warning people. Watch out. Where are you going when you die? You can't know for sure, you know. You're warning them of hell, the consequence of your sin. The sixth thing was right there in chapter 19 we just looked at, verses 4 and 5. Jonathan interceded for David. He spoke to his father, the king. That's what Christ does. Bible tells it very plainly. He spoke good of David. Did you catch that? That's what Jesus does. Once we get saved, he speaks good of us to the Father. Now, Jesus, when he intercedes for us, and there is only one intercessor, that's Jesus Christ. Mary isn't an intercessor. The Pope isn't an intercessor. The priests aren't an intercessor. Joseph Smith isn't an intercessor. There's only one between God and man. Jesus intercedes for us to the Father, the Bible says. Jesus speaks good of us to the Father no matter what we have done down here. He can't... Jonathan said he didn't do anything wrong. He's innocent. That's the intercession. He was a type of Christ in doing what he did. Because 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." The seventh thing, and I hurry. He got an answer from the king. He asked the king, he told the king, and then he got an answer from the king. For David. You know, if David would have went to King Saul himself and pleaded his case, the king would have killed him on the spot. But when his son spoke to the father, he got the right answer and interceded for David. You aren't going to go directly to the Father. You've got to go to the Son first. You've got to go to Jesus. He's the one that saves you. Then he makes that relationship right with the Father. It's called reconciliation. That's exactly what Jonathan did. He went to his father, the king. And also, in chapter 19 and verse 7, it says that he brought David to King Saul. You know what Jesus is going to do? Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says there's going to be a day called the rapture, when he's going to bring you before the king. Just like Jonathan did with David. He's a type of Christ. And the last thing was, I don't think you'd ever get this, but I'll end with it. Go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Second Samuel chapter 9, beginning with verse 3. Now here David is king. And the king said, that is David said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Important name. Then King David said, and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence, and David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Amen. You remember David's friend? Our friend is Christ. Jonathan's a type of Christ. We don't get to heaven on any merit that we have done. The only reason we're going to heaven is because we have a friend called Christ. And the king listens to Jonathan, the son. Jesus is the reason we get into heaven. Mephibosheth, a cripple. We're all cripples.
Amen.
We're Mephibosheth to the hilt. We don't deserve to sit at the king's table, just as you are right now, being fed the pure word of God. You don't deserve that. It's because of Jonathan, the son. We got something in contact. We are all together. We are one body in Christ, the Bible says. You're sitting at the king's table, whether you know it or not, Mephibosheth. And it was David that sought out Jonathan's son. He didn't even know Mephibosheth was alive. Got him out of Lodabar. Lodabar means house of no bread. Mephibosheth, he was from the wrong side of the tracks. Lodabar was known to be the poorest. There the people went to bed hungry. They had no nice clothes. They didn't have any groceries or anything else. What did David do? He sought out Jonathan's relatives. It says in Luke 19:10, for the Son has come to seek and to save the lost. Jonathan, the type of Christ. 9 points I gave you this morning as quickly as I could. What a blessing. It's all there in the book. Your real friend is Jesus. I hope that you will get a friend if you don't have one. I hope that you'll be faithful to that friend. That you'll be fast friends. That your soul will be the same as that other. Jonathan and David. What a story. And God put it in His Word for your blessing this morning. Heavenly Father, thank You for blessing us. Thank You for putting that there. Thank You for Jonathan and David. Jonathan finally died with his father in battle. But David didn't forget. Help us, Lord, to seek out the lost also. Help us to think of others. Help us to be a friend to someone that has no friend. Help us to live our lives for You, to please You, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen.